What's the 411? You tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens, their families, communities, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Graduating from high school or college is a major milestone, a rite of passage. So what's next? What does the future hold? A Teen's Guide to Career Success, How to Get and Keep a Job, is information that addresses important issues identified in the pursuit of a meaningful, successful career choice. Written by Jim Comiskey and edited by Kathy Feldman, both with years of experience in business and education. Thousands of recent high school and college graduates are facing the givens of an anemic economy, few jobs, menial opportunities, and enormous competition. But there are savvy ways that graduates can land on 2 feet in this job market. Kathy, welcome to 411 Teen.
Thanks, Liz. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, I'm glad to have you, and the information that you share, I'm sure, will just be very, very helpful. Well, the title of the book, it's certainly clear about its direction, A Teen's Guide to Career Success, How to Get and Keep a Job. I guess my first question is, where do teens go wrong in the pursuit of a job?
Well, I don't think they go wrong. It's okay. That they don't really have a lot of guidance as to what to do first and what to do second.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's one of the things the book covers, is it tries to tell you, sort of take you step by step in identifying what you want to do, what your interests are, and then how you go about following that and see what possible options there are for you. The most important thing, I think, is to be willing to ask a lot of questions and do a little bit of research.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, writing a resume is a good thing.
Good. Well, I know it says the book is for teens only, but in reading it, I found information that would be really helpful to just about anyone.
I agree with you, Dr. Liz. It's true. Almost everything in here can apply to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And although the title says teens and this particular book is geared for teens, you take out the word teens and the information just works for just about anyone at any level, particularly college students and anybody who's reentering the workforce, too. It's great for them.
I think that it is really beneficial. The earlier you start it, the better. Because the information, the way I gleaned it, it was very valuable information. But if teens and young folks had this information early on, as opposed to at the end of their high school career or college career, I think that they could benefit from it at that point.
I agree with you, and I think this is a great book for parents to get mm-hmm. their teens when they're, you know, when they're out for summer vacation, you know, as soon as they're old enough to get a job.
Right.
You know, I mean, some people do hire teens at, you know, 14 and 15, but essentially when they're 16 or so, any young person can use this book to really just sort of take them step by step through the process of what you need to do.
And I like that because you've said that several times, step by step. But that step by step is what makes the book so beneficial, because it takes you through the questions that you may have, strategies that you may use as you move down the continuum to securing a job.
Yes, it really does that, because one of the things that young people don't realize is that they have skills,
mm-hmm.
they have done things. I mean, a lot of times they're asked to put together a resume. Well, they say, well, I've never had a job. How do I put together a resume for something that I've never had? Everybody has certain skills. If you've done volunteer work, if you've worked in your church, if you've even been on a sports team, you have valuable skills that you have gotten just by being in high school and by working in the community, working with the church, working in any kind of thing. If you have any extra, if you're in glee club, if you like to sing, if you babysit, that's a job. You know, and that can be part of your resume.
Right. And that's what I was talking about when I said the earlier, the better they can benefit from that, because they will have an understanding that those little things that they do and they think are nothing and, wow, that can't put that on a resume, can be really very, very helpful. And it tells the potential employer something about this person. They worked in team sports. They work well on a team. You know, so it says a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
It does. And I think that a lot of times people, a number of kids will say, well, I don't have any skills. I don't know what to do. And, you know, you do have skills. You do have things just by the things you've done in your life. You just have to look at them from a different perspective. That's really important, because you have something to offer. And having a little bit of self-confidence about it, being able to put together a resume or make a list of the things you've actually done, even though they don't seem important, putting them all together, it mounts up and it adds up. And then you have a decent resume to go out. And resumes can get interviews, and interviews can get jobs.
Indeed. Where does one start, or do you have any recommendations about making that transition from student to employee?
Well, I think the first thing you need to do is kind of figure out what your interests are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you like to help others, if you like to... You enjoy taking care of people, you might want to see if you can find some sort of a job in healthcare or some sort of occupation that's around that. If you like to do creative things, if you like to draw and things like that, you might want to look into areas that would let you at least observe other creative people, like an advertising agency or a newspaper or something like that. There's a little quiz, there's a little survey in the book about what your interests are. And then once you narrow down what your interests are, there's a great site on the web called careerinfonet.org, and it's put up by the Department of Labor. And what it does is it can match your interests with the kind of jobs that are out there and give you an idea what kind of jobs you'd want to look for. And that's open to anybody. It's called careerinfonet.org.
Okay. Well, what you have said is what I kind of call a realistic approach, in that you have to look at self. You really have to be able to do a self-assessment. And in that self-assessment, what do you like to do? What are you good at? Because that's what you're saying. Because from reading this book, anything that you like to do can be morphed into a job.
Absolutely. And I think your term self-assessment is right on. That's really what it's all about. And looking at your skills, looking at your interests, and then seeing where they might meet with what kind of jobs are out there.
Exactly. And we're always saying looking at what you like to do, but it's very important that teens and young folks know what they don't like to do.
Good point. Really good point.
You're not supposed to like everything, and we don't like everything. So don't let yourself get stuck in something that you really know you don't like doing.
For example, if you really, really like to work on computers and you like to play around, I'm not talking about texting, but I'm talking about really playing around with programs and things like that, you don't want to interview for a job to be a salesperson. You probably don't like that kind of thing.
Right. So you have to just really be aware and honest with self. Sometimes, you know, you'll find teens just, I'll take a job, whatever job. But that may not be the wisest way to pursue a job, by just taking whatever you can get. Because if you land in something that's really not your cup of tea, so to speak, you may do yourself some real harm.
I think you're right, because not only will you probably not do a very good, not perform very well, but you'll also end up being unhappy. And so the experience is negative. And if you're going to go after a job, you hope that you can get something that's going to stimulate you, that interests you, and that will potentially have the possibility of more work and maybe even a career.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. How does one, or you have any strategies or suggestions about how one pursues their dreams when they are unsure about their dreams, when they're unsure about the direction? Because everyone doesn't know, and they may not be able to go in and decide, you know, that this is the way I want to go or not. Do you have any suggestions of things they may do or they may pursue, or strategies that may help them get to where they need to be as far as identifying jobs?
Well, I think, if you can't say, well, I really like this and I really like that, and you just haven't made up your mind, you might ask your friends, your teachers, your family, to say, ask them what they think you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can sometimes get an outside opinion. We all walk around inside ourselves, so to speak. And it sometimes your teachers, your career counselors can help you too. But if you have, let's say you think, well, I really like to work with people, but I also like to work on computers, try to find something that at least gets you into the workplace that isn't something you don't like.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and other interested folks. This hour, we're examining the challenges of getting a job. Let's pause for a brief break. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me on the phone is Kathy Feldman. Kathy is the editor and publisher of A Teen's Guide to Career Success, How to Get and Keep a Job. And it's information that is invaluable not just for teens, but for anyone who is pursuing in pursuit of a job. Kathy, I had to interrupt you because you were just talking about what teens might do, what individuals might do if they're really unsure about the direction to go. Was there anything that you wanted to add to that?
The only thing I'd like to add, and I may have said it, but if you can't narrow it down to what you'd like to do, mm-hmm. you can certainly make a list of things you don't want to do.
Right.
And so that leaves a whole bunch of other options open to you. And as I said, talking to friends, people your teachers at school, anyone who has whom you may have maybe that you've done something with that knows you, can make suggestions, because a lot of times we don't see ourselves the way others see us.
Now, Kathy, earlier we talked about resumes, and that resumes are certainly necessary and beneficial, and that everyone can have a resume, even when you think you can't. Some of the things I think may be helpful with resumes is, let's talk more how they really need to look. How long should they be? You know, some say you shouldn't make your resume any longer than a page. I've seen resumes come in that have been 17 and 18 pages. So I wanted to get some feedback on you about just more detailed on resumes and what we should look for.
Well, a resume really has four objectives, and for someone who is trying to get a job for the first time, or someone who does not have a lot of experience, it doesn't have to be long. Mm-hmm. A resume can be only a page, as you pointed mm-hmm. out. Certainly, someone who is just entering the job market isn't going to have enough to fill up 18 pages. But you want, the goal of a resume really is to get someone's attention so they will interview you. And it's also to prepare you for the interview itself, because what you're going to do on that resume is to write down what you have done in a way that sounds good. For example, if you have volunteered at your church, let's say, helping some of the young, taking care of some kids during services or something like that, or helping organize an event at your school or elsewhere, the fact that you've done that shows that you have some organizational skills. It shows that you've actually taken something and from beginning to the end. Mm-hmm. And that should be on your resume, because it shows what you have done. So when you write your resume, you're kind of figuring out how to present yourself. And you want to create a positive impression with the potential employer before the interview and during the interview, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really one of the main goals. Is a resume is just, it doesn't have to be long. It just has to have the most positive way of saying what you've done so far in your life. And as we talked earlier, it doesn't have to be a job. It just has to be, if you've been on your football team at school and you have showed up for practice and you have, you know, whether your team has been the champion or not,
right,
the fact that you have been part of a team, you know how to work with teams, with a team, with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge. That's really, really important when you have a job.
Okay. Kathy, so much we hear, so often rather, we hear about job fairs. They're all over, pardon me, the country. But how productive are job fairs? Let's explore those, please.
Do you have a lot of job fairs in Florida?
Here in Tallahassee, you know, we have the universities, so. We do have job fairs, and I just wondered, you know, if they are beneficial. Is that something that teens and young folks should really pursue and participate in? So that's why I wanted to get your take on job fairs.
Honestly, it's so hard to generalize
mm-hmm.
job fairs because some of them, if they are geared to teens, then or students. College students or high school students, if they're geared to young folks, I think that they might be beneficial. I mean, for example, if the university put on a job fair, it depends on whether they're trying to get really skilled people
mm-hmm.
or if they want to get people who are just entering the market and potentially interns. That's something we haven't talked about yet, but interns or people that are just entering so that they can get new talent. But it's hard to generalize, but I say anything connected with a university or with a city college or community college, I think those kind of things might be really worth attending. If they're just general ones for the whole city or something like that. Maybe not.
Okay. All right. What is, before we continue, I'd just like to pick your brain and find out, what's your assessment of today's job market?
The job market is really tough. There's no question about that. It's picking up, but it's not picking up necessarily for people that have never worked mm-hmm. before. That's one of the reasons that if a teen or young person can afford it, trying to get an internship is sometimes a better idea. But you do go through the same process. In other words, you still should have a resume. This job market is tough. It mm-hmm. has been for the last, 6 or 7 years. It isn't, but that's one of the things that we also recommend in the book, is that you do as much as you do a lot on your own. In other words, you don't wait for people to job fairs, and you can't wait for somebody to come and say, here's a job. What you need to do is be what they say, proactive. In other words, if you have an area that you really like, you'd really like to get a job with in a certain area of interest. I'm just going to say you want to be a graphic artist or something like that. Or you want to do computer graphics. How about that? That's better. Computer graphics.
Okay.
Rather than try to get a entry-level job, just waiting for it or looking in ads or, you know, combing the Internet, although that helps, you should look around in your area and find out if there are any companies in your area that do that. And then you reach out to them. You ask all your friends. You ask all your parents' friends. You ask all your teachers. You ask everybody. And you reach out, and it's what's called, as I said before, being proactive. You reach out, and you do the legwork. You do a lot of the work, because that's what's going to get you a job these days.
Okay. Well, often teens and young folks are at a pivotal point in as far as what direction to take. You know, they have to make decisions. When one of the decisions may indeed be, should I pursue a job or should I continue my formal education? Any comments, any insights you may have when the teen is at that crossroad? Well, they're just really not sure. I mean, there's always school to go to. And I think about that here in Tallahassee, because we have, you know, 3 major universities here in the city. And there may be a lot of pressure to go to college, but does everyone have to go to college right after they get out of school?
Absolutely not. Because you know what? You can always go back to college if you want to. I'm sure you have a really good community college in Tallahassee as well. And the fact of if you're just getting into the job market, if you want to start that, you know, there are lots of places where you can go. If you're not sure and you don't sure you want to go on with your education, there's nothing wrong with trying to get a job, because you can always take community college classes. You can always go back to college afterwards. And in fact, some employers actually pay for people to go back and get degrees. But there is one other point that I want to make, and that is that even though you don't go to college, there are associate degrees and there are specific kinds of courses of training that you can get certified in if it's an area that you really want to. And most, if you really want to get ahead in business, at some point you're going to want to get that certification, that associate's degree, that something that for the career that you choose. And I think I don't think you should ever eliminate additional education. It's very important.
Okay.
And the more degrees you have, truly, probably the more money you'll make.
Mm-hmm.
But in the long run, but in the short run, if you're not sure, there's nothing
right.
wrong with trying to get a job and waiting to get a little bit of real life under your belt and
mm-hmm.
then decide.
That's good to hear. Also, in looking at a job, one very provoking time is the interview. And we need to address the interview. How important is it? What attire? What do you do about piercings? What do you do about tattoos? So let's spend some time looking at this interview, because I don't think there's a job that exists that does not have an interview.
No, I don't think so either.
Mm-hmm. So interviews are very important.
They really are. That's what a resume really is meant to get you an interview. That's what you do a resume for. But interviews
mm-hmm.
are very important. The fact of the matter is appearance is important. That doesn't mean you have to be pretty or you have to be handsome. It just means you have to look nice and you have to look professional. Piercing and tats are not very professional. So if you are a guy and you have sleeves, what you should do is wear a long-sleeve shirt. You should probably wear a long-sleeve shirt anyway. You should dress up.
To impress.
Not fancy, but up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you have a lot of visible piercings, it depends, you know, if you can't part with them, then you leave them. I mean, but what's more important, what's equally important, yes, you have to look nice, you have to look professional, you don't wear flip-flops, you don't wear baggy pants
mm-hmm.
and a hoodie, you know, that's not what you wear for an interview. You wear something nice. And then the next important thing is how you talk in an interview. You're there to make an impression, a good impression. Your resume gave you stuff to talk about, but if you know you're going to be interviewing with a company, do some research first. Find out about that company, what they do, how many employees they have. That's all on the internet. You can find that real easy. And find out, and you're interviewing for a particular kind of job, see if you can find out what people do in that kind of job. Or if you can't, do your best guess. Let them ask questions, but don't be afraid to ask questions, too, when it's appropriate to help define
mm-hmm.
what you're doing.
So what you're saying is it's the presentation, basically. You know how?
Yeah, it is a presentation.
It's a presentation, and it's the whole package.
Right.
It's not just one piece of it. It's all of it.
Yes, that's right, Dr. Liz. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and in that, it's important to be on time. I know that's basic, but for teens, I think we have to emphasize that being on time is very important. Not, oh, I'm just running 10 minutes late. No, that won't get it.
No, that won't get it. You're so right. You need to be on time. You need to look presentable. You should have a pen with you
mm-hmm.
in case they want you to fill anything out while you're there. What if somebody says to you, well, I really like you. How would you like to, I'd like you to fill out a job application, and it's not on the internet. It's
right.
not online.
Right.
And they want you to do it there. Were you going to borrow a pen?
Mm-hmm.
No.
You right.
come prepared. Yes, being on time is so important because they're judging you. The minute you walk in that door, they're judging you because they want you to be an employee. They want you to fit in with theirs. And if they see you come in 5-10 minutes late,
exactly,
they're going to say, okay, is this person going to show up for a job on time? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, things that are just real basic that we folks, old folks, you know, some of us recognize that they are important in securing a job. Young folks haven't had that experience and they don't know. Another thing that I wanted us to address or have you address is gum or candy or something in your mouth.
Oh. Thank you.
Yes.
That's a no-no.
Right.
That's a no-no. Nothing in your mouth, nothing in your hands. You don't play with your keys. You don't you don't text anyone.
Oh, yes.
You don't check your text to see if somebody's talking, wants to talk to you while you're doing an interview. No, no. The phone gets stashed, okay?
Exactly. Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off.
Yes.
Completely.
Yes.
Okay. But, you know, today, I mean, that's hard to do. I mean, teens very seldom turn their phones off, you know? And I've seen them say, excuse me for a minute, let me get this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the answer is, when you're in a job interview, just like you don't be chewing gum or you don't, you don't have candy in your mouth, you don't have your phone on, period.
Exactly.
Right then, you're supposed to have all your concentration focused on the person that is interviewing you because you're trying to make the best impression you possibly can. So they hire you.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
why you're there.
Exactly. What about, and this is always a common question, and we may not have time to answer it because it's about time to take a break, but I'll present it, and then maybe we can explore it after the break. And it's always the question of full-time versus part-time. I need a full-time job. I haven't found that full-time job, but there's a part-time job that I might be interested in. And I'd always been taught that part-time can have a lot of potential. So if there's that part-time job, you might want to go on and pursue it, and maybe it will morph into something else. We're going to take a break, Kathy, and then we can address that when we come back. You're tuned in to 411 Team. We're talking about identifying and obtaining a job. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and their families and their communities and other interested folks. This edition of 411 Teen, I'm talking with Kathy Feldman, editor and publisher of a new book that's out, A Teen's Guide to Career Success, How to Get and Keep a Job. Now, Kathy, right before we went on break, I had posed the issue of full-time or part-time employment, and wanted to have you, you know, respond to that.
Well, Dr. Liz, I think if you can get any kind of a job, you should take it, because that's where you get your experience, and very, very often part-time jobs lead to full-time jobs. I know most people, when they want a job, they want a full-time job. They want the security of a full-time job. But you know what? When you're starting out, if you can get a part-time job, it can lead to many, many other things, and you should absolutely take it if it's something at all that you would like to do. Definitely, you should take the part-time job if that's what's available.
Okay. Another question that's often raised is the question of whether to relocate. There's a job. It's in a neighboring city, and you've been offered the job. But that would demand that you relocate. What are the things that one should consider about relocation? And I'm thinking now about support systems and that kind of thing, in evaluating whether to relocate or not.
That's a tricky question because for someone who's young and someone who's just starting in the job market, it depends. If they're independent enough to not need a real support system and want to do this, they can start a whole new life to a certain extent. But it can be very lonely. Also, it can be very expensive to relocate. If you're now living in at home with your parents or with family, relocating can be a real challenge because both financially and emotionally. So I think a lot of it depends on the person and on the financial situation. If somebody's going to offer you a job with enough money to relocate and you feel that this might be interesting and I can handle this, go for it. But it's a real challenge because it's hard. When you're young, it's easier to move around. I'm sure, Dr. Liz, you early probably moved around some when you were younger and had jobs in different places. I know I did. So there's the flexibility of being young and having that opportunity, but also there is the financial challenge that goes along with it.
Okay. Do you, with all these recent graduates, here we are, I'm thinking of high school graduates, we have the college graduates, they all are entering the today's job market. Do you have any particular tips that you would suggest to these new graduates, whether they're at the graduating from high school or from college?
I think what would be what's really, really important for a new graduate entering the job market today is to realistically assess your skills. Figure out what it is you can do. And again, I would be, so once you've done that, as we were talking about it before, doing a self-assessment, these are things I can do, these are things I know about, these are things I'd like to continue doing, that sort of thing. And once you've identified those, then I would be very, again, proactive. I would figure out companies that could use my skills, companies that I'd like to be part of. I would just go after, I'd find out everything I could about them and see if there are any job openings. Mm-hmm. Even if they're not in the ideal place you want to be, let's say you want to be a graphic artist or a designer, and there's an opening in the sales department. Mm-hmm. If it's something that you could, you know, just as a entry level person, even if you can, once you get inside, you can always move up.
And that's
so important.
You can always
find out what else, you know, what the opportunities are. But I think you need to take a lot of responsibility yourself. And nobody, the truth is the job market is tight, so nobody's just going to hand you stuff. It mm-hmm. doesn't happen that way. You have to work for it. But if you do your homework, so to speak, ahead of time and figure out what you want to do, and then, as I said before, ask everybody if there's an area that you want to go in, there's a company you want to work for, ask everybody you can think of to see if they know anyone there, if they can make any recommendations, if they have any suggestions. You don't always have to do it totally by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing wrong with asking. If you don't ask, you don't get.
That's true.
That's been my philosophy.
That's true. And I was glad to hear you talk about what basically they would call the foot-in-the-door approach, whereas it may not be the exact job that you are looking for, but maybe once you can get into that organization or you can get into that company, you'll have the opportunity, you know, to pursue, you know, a track down the avenue that you really want. So getting in the door, maybe taking that job that is not in your area, that's a little bit out of your field, but gives you access and gives you a membership in the company, is something mm-hmm. to consider.
That is really good advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in looking, as we are looking for our jobs, would you comment on the messages on one's voicemail?
Oh, yeah. That's a good thing to talk about, Dr. Liz. I agree with you on that. Okay. when you are applying for a job and when you're trying to get interviews, there is a very good chance someone is going to call your phone to talk to you. And when that happens, if it says, "Yo, bro, leave it here," or something,
I know, silly, worse.
I mean, you've heard all, we've all heard all kinds of things.
Right.
At that point, I think you really should change your message. So what you should do, you can always change it back. However,
right,
it would be really, really good idea if you, before you start job hunting and start going on interviews or start even trying to get interviews, where you're obviously going to give out your number, because a lot of people will contact you by email, but some will actually pick up the phone. Every once in a while, they do that, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would change my message to something, "Hello, this is Sally Brown. Please leave a message at the tone, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can." Boom. That's all you have to say.
Not "what's up, because I hit you back at 9. And they're cute. Some of them are so real cute, really cute and creative. But that's really...
But I think that's one place where you want to be a little conventional.
Right.
At least for a short period of time.
Right. That, right.
That's really a good point.
And business cards. Now, everybody has a business card. You go online and you can get 500 for Do they need business cards? And if they do, what information should be included on the business card?
Well, you don't necessarily need a business card, but it doesn't hurt. I have to tell you, about a year ago, I was at an event, and there was a guy who was starting a big organization. It was a nonprofit. And he did not, I said, "Give me your card," and he didn't have one.
Mm.
And I berated him. I told him, "Get yourself business cards. What are you doing?" And he did, and every time I see him, he shows me his business card again.
Uh-huh.
But the point is, if you haven't got a job, obviously, and that's what business cards usually tell what's on your job, that what your job is, it's very simple. You just put your name, your email address, a website, if you have one, because you could. It's real easy to set up a website. You could set up a website if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that, that's fine, too. Email address, phone number, and if you want, an address. But you don't need anything else. It's just a calling card. And certainly if you don't have any particular skills. Now, if you have some training or you have some skills, let's say you've taken a bunch of courses in computer animation. So
mm-hmm.
you could put Phil Smith, computer animation,
mm-hmm.
and then your email and your phone number, for sure. Even if you don't really have a job. You can stretch that a little bit, but you don't want to go saying you have a profession when you really don't. If you have enough skills that you think you can put that on there, then put down what it is that skill is.
Okay. All right. What? And I know parents are listening going, "Well, what can we do? How can we help our recent graduate?" And are there any clues that you would share with parents about what they can do, how they can be supportive as their teen or young adult goes out looking for a job?
I think that they can, parents can do everything that we've talked about now. They can offer guidance. They
mm-hmm.
can't do it for them.
Right.
But they can offer guidance. They can offer support. They can tell them, share experiences they've had. And they can mm-hmm. also use their own network at work and personal network to perhaps find openings, help their teen or their young adult find a job, or at least a part-time job. You know, as you said earlier, getting a foot in the door is always the best possible thing you can do. They also might be able to, they can also help them a little bit with their self-assessment and suggest areas that they think would be good for the teen to pursue, mm-hmm. or the young person to pursue if they're, well, I don't really know what I want to do yet, and I'm just not sure if I would be qualified, or I'm not sure, I just don't know. They can help them with that self-assessment and be supportive. But the other thing they can do is to let them have the experiences themselves, not to protect them too much, not to shelter them too much, not to keep them from experience, because they're going to go on interviews and they're going to be turned down. It happens. It happens to all mm-hmm. of us. It doesn't mean the person that they interview with was wrong. It just means they may not be right for the job, or just wasn't a match.
Right.
So I think that's important too.
Well, in these last few minutes, I have about 200 more questions for you, but but let's look at, I'm going to pick out a couple that I think are real important and want to have you comment on, the most effective way to use social media sites, because sometimes teens can use them and that can work against them too.
Yeah, you know, the first thing an employer is going to do probably when they get your resume is check you out on the Internet. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what you do when you knew somebody new?
Right.
So they're going to do it, too. And the question is, what do you have on your Facebook page that you don't want other people, that you don't want an employer to see? Now, I know it's not that easy to remove things, but you also might think a little bit about what you have up there and what you have on social media mm-hmm. that you're not sure you'd like people that are going to thinking about employing you see. And if that's the case, you might want to take it down before you do the job search.
Yeah.
It's better to do it before than have them look at it and say, oh, there's no way I'm going to interview that kid, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's so timely. It's really very important. Now, once I get this job, in these last few minutes, once I get a job, I've interviewed, I've gone through that process, how do I keep it?
You know, that's a really, really good question. You have to be a team player. You have to have a positive attitude. You need to be a really good listener. You have to listen to people. This goes back to something we talked about before. When you're at work, you're at work. You're mm-hmm. not texting. You're not getting calls. You're not carrying on conversations with all your buddies, telling them everything you're doing, because you know what? You're on a job now. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things you do when you're on your break, because you'll get one, and your lunch, and after work. So, but when you first get a job and you're first in the workplace, listen. Keep your eyes, ears open and your mouth closed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Your eyes open and your mouth closed. But on the other hand, don't be afraid to ask questions if you're being told something that you don't understand. Just do it politely and nicely, the same way you'd want to be talked
mm-hmm.
to. But you really want to be a really good listener, and you want to be reliable. Back when we were talking about don't show up late for an interview, don't show up late for your job. This happens all the time. I've seen this just recently where I had my house painted, and one of the guys on the job didn't show up on time. He got fired on the job.
Mm-hmm.
I had nothing to do with it.
Right.
Because the contractors were doing it. But he got fired because he didn't show up on time and he wasn't doing his job. So being on time is really important. Trying to work with everybody and go in with it thinking, how can I learn from this? What can I learn? How is this going to be good for me? And how can I help promote myself by doing a good job here, now?
Well, Kathy, thank you so much. We've been talking with Kathy Feldman, editor and publisher of A Teen's Guide to Career Success, How to Get and Keep a Job. That's it for this edition of 411 Teen. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.